take care of it this morning if you don't know him. Amen. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1. I ask you to turn there as we reverence the reading of God's word this morning. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1. I want to preach just a very simple sermon this morning. If I'm going to preach it, it's got to be simple. So this morning I just want to preach a simple sermon this morning. Take care of it. There are some things in our life that we just have to take care of. We just have to do it and let God lead it. Amen. As we come in this morning, I don't know about you, but I thank God that I know a man who can this morning. Can I get a witness this morning in the house of God? Been in the book of Acts for a little while now, and we just want to stay there for a little while and let God lead us. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Take care of it this morning. If you got something in your life that's out of hand, take care of it this morning. Take care of what's ever out of hand, and God will do what he needs to do in your life. The Bible says, Acts 6:1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of his disciples unto them and said, Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Father, we love you and we thank you for this unpromised day. Father, this day was never promised to us, Father. Lord God, we could have died last night. Father God, we could have died this morning, but you granted us breath one more day. And Father, I want to take that breath and glorify your name. I want to glorify who you are this morning. My King, my Lord, my Lily, my Shepherd this morning. Father, I pray this morning, whoever may have some business in their life that's not took care of, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost, that it do the preaching this morning. I pray this morning that it search the hearts of everybody in this room. Father God, I pray you anoint the ears of the hearers. I pray this morning they hear from heaven and not from me. Father, I pray this morning that you have your will and way in this service. I pray if they be a lost person, Lord God, they get saved before it's eternally too late. If there's a backslidden Christian that's lukewarm or just cold this morning, I pray they get on fire before they left this building this morning. Father God, we're tired of lukewarmness. Father, you're tired of lukewarmness. You're tired of people playing church. Lord God, you want to move of the Holy Ghost in this place. And I pray this morning, Father, if there's some business that need to be took care of, I pray they take care of it this morning before it's eternally too late. Oh, Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Have your will and way in this service and we'll be pleased to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, you may be seated this morning. Take care of it this morning. As we come here and the church had grew and God was really blessing. I'm telling you, as we come here, the church is growing and God is really blessing. He is really doing something amongst these disciples and he is really setting down. And can I say to you this morning that, hey, God's doing something here at this local body church and he's doing a great work here. Hey, but just as there was a great work being done here, you listen to me, there was a murmuring among the people. As we get here in the book of Acts, that there was a murmuring amongst the people. And as they got to murmuring, and I'd say this before go any further, they had a right to murmur. They was not doing what they were supposed to do as a local body church and not doing what God needed them to do. And they knew that in their life and they knew they needed to take care of something. And I want you to know this morning, murmuring or complaining, it will destroy a local body church. It'll take a church that's on fire and make it cold. Hey, you get people in the pulpit and they get complaining, and they get murmuring, and they get backbiting, and they get griping and complaining. You get the preacher murmuring. You get him complaining. You get him backbiting. We'll lose the focus of the greatest ministry of the local body church, and that is winning people to Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want you to know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, In verse number 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion." He never has been and He never will be. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, "Let all things," not some things, not the things that I like, not the things that fit me, but "let all things be done decently and in order." He said this morning that we must take care of things in our life that is out of control. We must take care of things through the blood of Jesus Christ with things in our life is out of control. Hey, the churches of amongst of all the world that we live in, most churches are cold, callous, and complacent. Hey, it's about them. It's about what God can do for me and not what I can do for somebody else. Hey, I got good news this morning. He didn't call us to sin, but He called us to serve. Can I get an amen? And this morning when they come, they understood that they're women. Their widow women was not being took care of. And you know what He said there? They said they called them together. And number one, I want you to look at this. They realized that they had a problem. And I want you to know, before you can ever get anything straightened out in your life, you got to realize that there is a problem to ever fix what's going on. Look what He says here in verse number one. He says that some folks were murmuring. You know what murmuring is this morning? It's doing it secretly. It's doing it behind closed doors. It's not taking it out openly. It's being secret and talking behind somebody's back. This morning, I want you to know, if you got a loose-lipped tongue this morning and you got an old long tongue this morning, you listen to me this morning, backbiting and murmuring, it ain't of God this morning. I'm talking about the next man. It's not of God this morning. He said He's not in that this morning. He said this morning, can't no man control that tongue. You say, "Preacher, what can control my tongue?" That is the Word of God. That is the Spirit of God. That is the blood of Jesus. They knew they had a problem. People had got talking amongst the people, and they knew there were some things left out. And here's what He said. He said, "We're not going to ignore it, but we're going to handle the problem that is at hand." This morning, He said this. The widows was neglected, and they left it out. They felt like they was uncared for. Nobody loved them. Nobody wanted them. Can I give you good news this morning? I pray at this place we never get to the place where somebody feels like they're neglected or left out. Friends, this morning I want you to know Jesus Christ loves you more than anything in this world. That's why He went to Calvary. He went to Calvary so He could take care of the problems that are in your life. Can I get an amen? Hey, this morning I thought about the murmuring in the church, and I'll never forget when Brother Ricky Wolf was preaching the revival here from Beulah Baptist Church in North Carolina. And Brother Ricky said he had a church member. He had a man that was very gruntled, and he never could get happy. He never got right. He never always complained, always murmured. And Brother Ricky said, "This is what's going on." He said that man, he started telling lies on him and started saying Brother Ricky wasn't preaching the truth and that he wasn't standing for the truth. And it started getting amongst the church. And Brother Ricky said he had prayed for that man all he could pray. If you're grumbling in here this morning and you complain on every corner and you got an old loose tongue this morning, you make sure you let God fix that tongue this morning. And Brother Ricky said he had had a long day, and he come in on that Wednesday night, and as he got walking into the church, there stood that church member that had been grumbling and complaining. I got good news. Hey, I want you to know, hey, the world don't need to see us grumbling and complaining. They need to see us loving on one another and doing the will of God. Amen. And Brother Ricky said he walked in that morning, that evening on Wednesday, and said he saw that man standing, and he thought, "I've done had all I can take. I'm going to let him have it with both barrels. I'm fixing to tell him what I think about him." And said as he walked up to where that man started weeping. He started crying as he was standing there. And he said, "Brother Ricky, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for talking about you." You know what'll get you over talking about people and murmuring, Brother JD? If you'll go to that person that don't know you've been talking about them, if you'll go to him and say, "Will you forgive me? I've been talking about you." That'll get you over talking about people when you're confronted by the Word of God. And Brother Ricky said that man said, "Brother Ricky, will you please forgive me? I've been murmuring and backbiting against you so much in this church, and I need to ask for forgiveness." And Brother Ricky said, "Brother, I forgive you." He said, "What's going on?" He said, "I was coming down the road the other day toward Gatlinburg, and I had a flat tire and I broke down right there on that cliff of that rock. And as I broke down on the side of that road, he knew he had a problem. And this other preacher pulled up behind him and he didn't know what was going on. And when he walked up to the man there with the flat tire, he said, "Can I help you along life's way? Can I help you with the problem that you got? Can I help you do something?" And he said that man got to talking about him. He got talking about what was going on. And he got talking about Brother Ricky. And he said, "Well, Brother Ricky's a man of God." He said, "Man, if you got a problem with God, you might need to get your life right." He said, "Do you know Jesus?" It wasn't but a minute that old man got to crying. He said, "No, that's my problem. I don't know Jesus." And he gave his life to Jesus right there on the side of that road. And the same man that was talking about him and ridiculing him and beating him down and backbiting, you know what Brother Ricky said? He become one of the faithless members at Beulah Baptist Church. He said, Brother Ricky said he could preach a funeral and that man would be there. And no matter what he did, that man of God would be there. And as he got there and he understood that, he said that man got sick and that man got down and cancer was eating that body up. And Brother Ricky said he went to that man's house just to talk to him. And he said, "Brother Ricky, I know I've had a problem and I've been murmuring and talking about you. I want you to do me a favor." And Brother Ricky said, "Whatever I can do, I'll do it." He said, "When I die, will you preach my funeral?" And Brother Ricky said, "I sure will." He said, "Well, is there anything you'd like for me to say?" He said, "I want you to preach that old blessed book. I want you to preach that gospel that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Jesus." He said, "That's why I was murmuring against you. That's why I was talking about you. It was nothing to do with you, but it was a guilty conscience that I had on the inside of me. It wasn't the problem with the church. It was the problem that's within me." And he said he preached that man's funeral. This morning, I want you to know, number one, we must take care of the problems that are in our life. This morning, number two, I'll show you this. When you take care of the problems that's in your life, you must have a plan to take care of them problems. You know, I want you to know, every one of us in this room, we've had problems. And Jesus set forth the plan. God sent him to this earth to die on a rugged cross to take care of the problems that are in our life. Look what he says here in verse number 2. They had a problem, but they had a plan. Boy, don't you thank God for the plan of salvation. Man, we had a problem, but we got a plan. Woo, glory. Had a problem, but we had a plan. Look what he says here. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, here's what they said. He called them in and said, "Boys, we got a problem. Boys, we got a problem and we got to have a plan to get out of this problem that we're in." Can I say to you, the Bible says there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. When I listen to brothers in this room and they listen to me and I listen to sisters in this room and they listen to me, there's wisdom in multitude of counsel. If you think you know it all, you're in danger. If you think you don't need nobody, you're in danger. If you think you can sit and do it, you're in danger. Here's what he said. Look what he said. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables?" He said, "Hey, man, we've been studying the word and preaching and doing. Is it for us to leave the word of God and serve tables?" They said, "We need to regroup for what's there's something wrong and we don't need to ignore it." Look what he says here. Here's verse number 3, the plan that he had set forth. They knew they had a problem, but they had a plan put together. Here, I love what he says here. He says, "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." I see, number one, they had a problem, but number two, they had a plan. They regrouped to fix what was wrong. They needed help. They needed help. Can I say to you this morning, we need help at this local body. D.L. Moody said this, "It's better to put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men." It's better to put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men. Can I say to you this morning, we need help. They had a plan. They needed help. But they needed honest help. They needed honest help. They didn't need somebody who's going to be there part-time, half-time, sometime. They needed somebody they could count on to be there all the time. Can I say to you this morning, I have a Savior that's there all the time. They had a problem, but they had a plan they're going to set forth. And here's what he said. He said, "Here's the plan that I have set forth, and here's what I want you to do." He says, "Here's what it is. Look, find you out 7 men. We need help. They need to have an honest report. They need to be honest. They don't need to be lying. They don't need to be backbiting. They don't need to be murmuring. They need to be honest in what God has called them to do. If you're lost, you can't do the work of God." Listen to this. You can't give. Everybody okay this morning? You can't give somebody in the local body church a job to make them faithful. You've got to give somebody in the local body church a job because they are faithful. He said this, I want you to find you seven men of honest report. That means they're honest in the report they do. When they walk in this place, when they come in amongst you, when they walk among you, there's nothing that can be said about them. They don't do none of these things. They love one another. They have peace. They have mercy. They have grace. They tell the truth and they do what God has called them to do. They just have an honest report. They're honest among everything that they do. You can trust them in any area of your life. He said, number one, they had a problem, but they had a plan. He said, I want you to find you out some men that has an honest report. He said, number two, though, they must be full of the Holy Ghost. You know why they must be full of the Holy Ghost? They must be saved if they're going to do the work of God. I believe there's a lot of local body churches that's got lost people trying to do the work of God. This morning at this place, we don't need to be a body of believers that put lost people into places. We need men of God and women of God doing the work of God. Amen? And he said this, that's why the problem is in the local body church. And before I ever get in a pew, I'll go to the pulpit. There's some men standing behind that pulpit that are not of God. They're about their own belly, about what they can get, about what tickles their ears, about what fills their billfold, about what does them good. And he said, you stay away from them. You find you a man of God. You find you somebody that has an honest report. You can count on them. They stick by the stuff. Can I get an amen? They stay with it, man. I'm telling you, you must take care of what's wrong in your life. Because there's a problem and there's a plan that sets forth, though. Oh, this morning he said, I want you to find you out seven men. Number one, have an honest report. Number two, they must be full of the Holy Ghost. Well, preacher, I'm no judge. How do you know? You'll know. You'll know. It ain't by the tongue that they speak. It'll be by the way that they walk. That Holy Spirit won't let them do some things that they used to do. The Holy Spirit won't allow them to get away with things that they used to do. The Holy Spirit will convict them, challenge them, and correct them in the areas of their life. Number one, they had a problem, they had a plan. He said, you find you some men that's full of the Holy Ghost and that's got wisdom. It's got wisdom about them. Can I say to you this morning, when you get into the local body church, you must and I must be what God has had us to be and do the work that He's called us to do, that we can take care of what is wrong in the local body church and do it the way God's called it to be done. He said, you go find you these men. He said, you go find you out these men, you go find out these people, and you put them to work in the area that God has called them to do. Folks, this morning, I want you to know in this local body church here, we need people that are faithful and willing to do the work of God inside this local body. Amen? He says, take care of it. He said, number one, they had a plan. Number two, they had a problem. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a problem in your life? To get out of that problem, you had to have a plan. You had to have a solution. You had to have something to get you out of that problem that you was in. Just as your home has problems, this local body church will have problems. If you think you've come to the perfect church, I hate to break this to you. You did not come to the perfect church. When I became the pastor, if it was perfect, Brother Brent, when I became pastor, it became imperfect. But I tell you, the head of this place is perfect, and His name's Jesus Christ. He is the head of this place, and He is perfect. Let me show you this in the text. Man, I'll tell you what, as I studied this, I thank God for it. Amen? I thank God for it. They had an honest report full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Tony Evans said this, when you had to put a plan together and use somebody in the local body church, make sure that you use them on spirituality and not notoriety. Make sure you use them on spirituality, how spiritual they are, and not on notoriety. Not because they're so-and-so's kid or so-and-so's family or so-and-so's this or so-and-so's that. So-and-so will get you in trouble. You know how many people's hired people because they knew somebody and then they had to fire them because they weren't worth nothing? I'll never forget when I ain't going to use that word working because I still work. But when I was working in the public, I'd go to Luke over there, Sproul Trust, and I said, Luke, man, this old boy needs a job. And he said, is he any good? Will he work? I said, man, he'll work. I thought, yeah. Knowing in my mind, I ain't never seen him work. And will he be on time? I'm thinking. Yeah, I think he'll be on time. He'd hire him, and he'd come to me and say, man, he ain't worth nothing. I got to let him go. He won't work. He ain't on time. He's not faithful. I got to let him go. I did that about 20 times, 20 different people. Finally, somebody called and said, hey, can you get me a job? I said, man, they got applications up in the office. So, preacher, what does that mean? What does that mean? You ought to be more faithful to this place than you are your own job that you go to. To that local body house. When there's a problem, there's a plan. And guess who he uses to fix the problem that's in the church? He uses you and I. You're part of that plan that he's wanting to use to fix the local body church. to get all the murmuring and all the backbiting out. Let me give you this morning. Number one, they had a problem. Number two, they had a plan. But number three, they had a prayer. You can have a problem and it won't go nowhere. You can set forth a plan to do right. And just because the plan's there, don't mean it won't work until prayer is put into practice. In your Christian life this morning, if you take care of what's wrong, number one, you can know there's a problem. You can have a plan to fix it. But until you pray about it, it ain't going nowhere. Until you pray about it, it's not going nowhere. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You know, in your spiritual life, there may be a problem. You've had every plan and every opportunity. You said, man, I'm going to do. And you never got around to doing what you was going to do because it's never been mixed with prayer. This morning, the Bible says this. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 4. He says not only to take care of it, you must pray. But we will give ourselves continually. Not sometimes, not half time, but all the time. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles, they wanted to continue to pray and minister. Everyone has a specific task they can do. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. They said, we're going to stick to it, we're going to stay to it, and we're going to do what God has called us to do. Do you remember over there in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30, when David, they'd come in and they'd been invaded, and David went back to get what he needed? He said, I'm going to take 600 men, and we're going back over, and we're getting what they had robbed from us. We're going to take it back. We're going to get back. He had a problem. Ziklag there, they done come in, they done burn up everything, done took his wives, done took everything. You know what David did? David didn't cower back. He asked the Lord, what should I do? He prayed. He said, Lord, what should I do? And he said, you go find you some men. And he said he took going to take 600 men and go over. 600 men he's going to take and go over. He had a problem. He had a plan. But it said when he went to take them 600 men over, 200 couldn't go. It said 200 had to stay with the stuff. 200 had to stay back. And as they went over to Ziklag, they went over, they destroyed it, and they come back. They destroyed everything that went on over there. They got everything back and brought back all the spoils, everything. And when they brought back them 200 that had stayed there, the 200 that stayed by the stuff and didn't quit and didn't get out when they come back, them ones in the 400 had been fighting when they come back, Brother Lee. You know what they said? They said them evil men, here's what they said about them. Murmuring, backbiting. They said they don't deserve nothing. They don't deserve one thing because they ain't been on the battlefield. They've not fought nobody. They've not done nothing. And here you want us to divide our spoils with these men? These 200, all they've done is stayed back and stuck with the stuff. And now we want you to divide it with them. They said, we're not going to do it. You know what David said? David said, oh yes, we are. There's some people that has to stick by the stuff. This morning, I want you to know there's some men and women of God in this place. They may not be able to go out and do stuff, but we got people that need to stick by the stuff. You know what David said? He said, we're going to split it right down the middle. We're going to do it equally and we're going to do it right. Just because you 400 went out and fought, he said, them 200 stayed back. They was just as important as the ones that went out. This morning, what I want you to know is this morning, it don't matter who does the fighting, we all need to be praying. Amen? We all need to be praying, lifting up each other's hands, doing the will of God and doing what God has called us to do. This morning, if you got a problem in your life, you need to take care of it this morning. You need to take care of that problem that's in your life this morning. You need to take care of it and make sure this morning that you don't have no problem in your life. Said there was an old woman, you've heard this, said this old lady in the church, and she was complaining and complaining and complaining. He said, preacher, why are you complaining this morning? I just go Acts 1 all the way down through there. When you go to Acts 6, that's what's going on, murmuring, complaining. So she come to the preacher and said, so-and-so, do you see what they was doing? Do you see what so-and-so was doing? Do you see what so-and-so was doing? And the preacher gave her a cup of water and said, I want you to make a lap around this church. And I want you to keep your eyes on that water and I don't want you to spill not one drop. So she took off around through there and went all the way around. She come back and she said, I didn't spill a drop. So do you remember what so-and-so was doing? She said, no, I wasn't paying attention to them. I was looking at the task that I had at hand. Folks, this morning, when I get my task on what God's called me to do, I can't worry about what Austin Laws is doing because I got my own thing to do. Number one, if you've got a problem this morning, take care of it. In the blood of Jesus Christ, take care of that problem. Number two, this morning, I want you to know you may have had a plan set forth what you're going to do later on down the road. Put that plan in action this morning. Jesus put that plan in action on the cross at Calvary, and we may have life, and we may have it more abundantly. This morning, if you've got a problem, you're going to have to pray. It's just not going to go away. It just ain't going to go away. But I love this morning. Not when they prayed, prosperity come. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, health and wealth, but I'm telling you this. I've seen problems in this own local body church, and I've seen people, instead of leaving, getting out, and leaving and going, we got to praying. We got to seeking God's face. I've seen married couples in this place, instead of splitting and leaving, they got on their face before God and got to praying. I've seen mamas and daddies, listen to me this morning, that kids are going wayward. They ain't come home yet, but they ain't gave up. They're still sticking by the stuff, and they're praying. And they're asking God to move, and they're asking God to do, and they're asking God. And this morning, when you get on your face before Almighty God, I want you to know He'll fix them problems in your life. And He'll take that problem, and He'll take that prayer, and He'll prosper you in your life. And this morning, He said in verse number 7, turn with me there. Let me show you this in the text. It said, here's what they did, verse number 7. I love this morning in verse number 7. He said they had a problem, but then they got to praying. And look what come. And the word of God increased when they fixed the problem. When they fixed that problem and they started praying, here's what happened. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What happened, preacher? They got to the place. They took care of the problem. They took care of what was going on. They took care of what was going on in their life, and they let God handle it in a way that needed to be handled. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you got a problem in your life? A problem. Man, I don't know what problems are. I have no clue. But I know this. In a local body Baptist church, here's what we call problems. People's on drugs, drinking, divorce. Adultery, fornication, we call all this a problem. And we love hearing somebody stand up and testify about being delivered from drugs. We love when somebody stands up and testifies, I no longer drink no more. We love when somebody stands up and says, my home's restored. But as I read this, I got to thinking, that wasn't the problem there, Brother Brent. They didn't have a drinking problem, drugging problem. They didn't have one. They had a murmuring problem. They had a problem not taking care of people. Is that a big problem? Yes. That's the biggest problem in the Baptist church, is a loose-lipped tongue. I promise you. Any church has ever been split and destroyed, it's over somebody running their mouth. And they wouldn't even obedient their self. They were talking about somebody that was trying, but wasn't getting it all done. This morning you may be trying, and you may be tired of trying. You say, preacher, I'm tired, and I'm being talked about on every corner. Don't worry about it. You keep doing what God's called you to do. And if I come up short doing what God's called me to do, at least I'm trying. I'd rather know I'm trying than sitting there not doing nothing. But I'm telling you, it's my heart when I read this, and that hits me in the face. This morning we're going to give an altar call. And everybody in this place could be in this altar for a loose-lipped tongue. I don't know, Brother Braden, but I heard. Huh? I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that sowing, that's a loose-lipped tongue. They were murmuring because things were not being done instead of stepping up and doing what needed to be done. I believe this morning we get tied up in all kind of things, but the main thing at the local body church, and that's loving on one another. Man, as I studied that this week, I started thinking about problems, and I said, Lord, I thank you that as a pastor that I don't know of right now, if there's any problems. Before I know it, they'll be murmuring. That's Bible. That's Bible. Before I ever know it, they'll be murmuring. But once I know it, I must handle it. Me and Brandy, man, I love her to death. Man, I love that woman. Yesterday, we was going to go run a power saw. And I told her, I said, I put the chain on the saw, filled it up with a little bit of gas, and she was getting her little pink boots on and her little, you know. And she said, what else do I need? I said, come on, let's go. It's time to go. Let's go. She said, listen, I ain't one of the boys. You don't talk to me that way. She said, if you want a woman like that, she said, I don't do that. I've got to make sure my nail. I said, well, let's go when you get time. And we loaded up on there, and we got cutting through there in briars that long. And she said, what do I need to do? what do I need to do? And I said, baby, all you need to do is just sit right there. You sit right there and follow behind me on four-wheeler, and I'll... He said, well, she didn't do nothing. Listen to me. Yes, she did. She was with me. Those that are not with you is against you. As we went through them woods, and she never got off, never grabbed a twig, never run the saw, never did nothing. But every time I turned around, she was doing this. Grinning from ear to ear. And we got down there in that bottom, and it was so quiet. It was so quiet, I forgot about all my problems. I forgot about all the plans in life that I had that I thought that I could work. And I went to a place down there where me and her stood time and time again where we pray. For this we prayed. For that we prayed. Went back to a place. Went back to a Bethel moment where a place that we get together and we pray. Thinking there me and my wife is a place that we prayed. Where we take care of business. We ask God to move when we can't move and we pray. And we've seen His hand all over our family. He said, preacher, what do you do when problems come? What do you do when things come? Do you blow up? Man, I try not to. I try not to murmur. I try not to complain. We ain't been the pastor of this church in no time at all. First new vehicle I ever bought in my life. Listen to me. I bought her a brand new car. Spanking new. Y'all know what spanking new is? Sister Keela, that's new. Nobody's ever sat in it. Went over to buy that car. I'm going somewhere. Went over to buy that car, pulled up, walked up, and I'd been mowing that day. That guy said, the used section's over here. I said, excuse me? The used section's over here. I said, man, we didn't come to buy used. We come to buy new. Well, sir, you know how high. I said, I didn't ask how high it was. I said, we come to buy new. Well, sir, I said, you got a manager. Yeah. Got a free pizza out of the deal. And we brought that car home, and we were so proud of that car. Bought it on a Saturday. The next Saturday, we going to the Huntsville as a church group. Sister Donna was with us when we went. Took the kids up there, having a good time. Got to take care of things. And set it right out here in the parking lot. Had a personalized tag on it. And somebody that night come through and vandalized that brand spanking new car. Stripped her down, son. I'm talking about did her in. We had a problem. And I prayed this. I said, God, I pray you show me exactly who. Tell me. I want to know. Lord, please. We went to jail ministry one night on a Monday night. And we walked into that place and we got to preaching. Holy Ghost got to moving. And this man raises his hand in the middle of the sermon. And he said, I need to be saved. And I went back there to where he was at. And as I knelt down with him on that floor and started showing him the plan of salvation, I had a problem, but I had a plan that he needed. As I started sharing the plan of salvation and he got to pray and asking God to come in his life, he stopped and right in the middle of that prayer, he looked at me and he said, preacher. And I said, yeah, he didn't know I was a pastor. He didn't know. He looked me dead in the eyes and he said, I'm telling you something right now, I ain't told nobody. He said, there's a car over there at a church. And I went through there and I vandalized that thing. And I'm going to ask God to forgive me for that too. So, preacher, what did you do at that moment in your life? Did you bring that up? It wasn't enough to murmur about. It wasn't enough to talk about. There was something more important on the line, and that was that man's soul. Led that man to Jesus Christ right there. He never knew that I knew that it was mine or any. I let him know right then that Jesus was the only way. There's some things that you and I murmur about in a local body church that ain't going to do a bit of good when it's all said and done. There's things in your family that you murmur against each other. Kids against kids, mamas against mamas, and daddies against daddies. Ain't going to do a bit of good when it's all said and done. But it's going to be where you spend eternity. And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When I read that about them murmuring and complaining, I never want that to be in this local body. Numbers 11:1 says, and when they complained, it displeased God. You make sure and I'll make sure that I don't complain in this place. If you're here this morning and that's touched you this morning, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar in just a moment. Because there's something that we need to make sure that we get under control. That's murmuring, complaining, and not loving people. We need to get that under control and make sure we're loving one another. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you so much for, Father, that you, when there's a problem, you've already put the plan in place, and His name's Jesus. And Lord God, it's already in place, and all we got to do is pray, and you'll show us. You'll show us exactly what we need to do. There's somebody here this morning, they know exactly what they need. You've done showed them. You've done showed them what they need to repent of and get this altar with. Lord, it'll be up to them if they want to prosper in their walk with you. Lord, I pray this morning that you touch somebody in a mighty way. That they take care of that problem. And they come to this old-timey altar and they ask you for forgiveness. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood. At this time, I pray that you touch, you move, you mend what needs to be mended. You heal what needs to be healed. Save who needs to be saved. The backslidden Christian that's lukewarm, cold. Lord God, bring them back. Get them on fire. Get them on fire. Lord God, we don't know. We'll go home this evening. There's no time to be lukewarm. In Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.